The story that we look at this morning is traditional for this time of the Christian year, right after Epiphany. As I started to look at the story, I found it interesting that the story of Jesus' baptism is told slightly differently in each of the Gospels. The places that it varies are the role of John the Baptist, the descent of the dove, and the voice from heaven. In the Gospel of Mark, probably the earliest of the four Gospels, John baptizes Jesus, and Jesus has a personal experience of seeing the heavens opened, witnessing the Spirit of God descending upon him like a dove, and hearing a voice proclaim, "You are my beloved Son." In the Gospel according to Matthew, John baptizes Jesus, but only after John protests, "I'm not worthy." The heavens open, the Spirit of God descends like a dove, and a voice from heaven proclaims for all to hear, "This is my beloved Son." Now, in the Gospel of Luke, John the Baptist, who has been imprisoned by Herod, is moved off stage altogether. While Jesus is in prayer, the heavens open, the Spirit descends upon Jesus in the bodily shape of a dove for all to see. But the story in Mark and Matthew and Luke, despite the variations, makes the point that the baptism of Jesus was pivotal in Jesus' self-understanding and was the starting point of his ministry. This experience changed him. Jesus knew now was the time for him to begin his work. We live in an age that is suspicious of spiritual realities and cynical of the relevance of religious institutions. I'm of the opinion that the church has given people much to be cynical about. An example is the baptism of Jesus. What have we done with this event in Jesus' life that depicts the power and the presence of God? We have theologized it and argued about it, and in doing so, we have reduced its significance. Most audacious of all, the Christian church has tried to claim ownership of baptism. Some say that a person must be baptized into the Roman Catholic Church to receive salvation. Others say infant baptism doesn't count. A person has to be a believer and baptized as a youth or adult. Others say that unless one is fully immersed in water, it doesn't count. Fully dunked, no polite sprinkling will do. People have become cynical, perhaps because they intuitively know that the church's bickering is a clever attempt to dodge God. A story like Jesus' baptism, whether from Mark, Matthew, or Luke, is so powerful that we would rather turn it into something bite-sized rather than encounter the inexplicable, the mystery, the disconcerting weirdness of it all. Instead of standing on the shore of a vast churning ocean, we turn and look for a puddle that we can fence in as our own. Sometimes those who are not fully absorbed in the church have the most insightful and significant observations about God. Let me tell you a little story. One evening, a New Testament professor from Princeton Theological Seminary visited a high school youth group. And as he was talking with them about the baptism of Jesus, one adolescent boy sat aloof in the back, and you can just visualize him, slouched down in his chair, staring only at his tennis shoes. After the professor finished speaking about the significance of Christ's baptism as a revelation of God's presence in Jesus, the high schooler said, without even looking up, "That ain't what it means." Well, the professor was glad that the students had been listening enough to disagree. And so he asked the young man, "What do you think it means?" The young man responded, "The story says that the heavens were opened, right?" "Right." "The heavens were opened and the Spirit of God came down, right?" "That's right." The boy finally looked up and he leaned forward saying, "It means that God is loose in the world. And it is dangerous." After Jesus was baptized, he went into the wilderness and it was dangerous. Jesus taught in the temples and it was dangerous. Jesus healed on the Sabbath and it was dangerous. Jesus confronted the authorities and turned over the tables, and that was dangerous. That high school student listened closely enough to the story to receive the power of it and receive the awe of it. Often in this church, we speak about the nearness of God and the comforting love of God, and I believe this is true. That God can come to us gently and tenderly. But I think it's a mistake to forget the terrific immensity of God. Because that's when we can slip into an attitude of taming God. By trying to keep God on a leash. A tame God is a manageable God. You've heard the saying that God created people in God's own image. And then we returned the favor. Remembering the magnificence of God, even the danger of God, helps us to keep from creating a God in our own image. Certainly this is true in our language about God. References to God are metaphorical. All names of God are inadequate and indirect. The Jewish tradition is clear about this in the very name of God as Yahweh, which refers to the God that is beyond word and language and images. So when we in the church argue about who possesses baptism, or bigger, about how we are to speak about God, people roll their eyes and they walk away and they consider the church irrelevant. And if caught in these theological eddies, we are irrelevant. When we diminish God, we diminish our acts of discipleship. The high school student had it right. God is running loose in the world and it is dangerous. Perhaps he was able to see this because he risked coming close enough to the story to feel the baptism and its power himself. Heaven is open and it is risky in the world. It's risky because at any moment you may be baptized by the Spirit of God and your life may take dramatic new turns. You may find yourself in a wilderness. Jesus came out of the desert and he went to the temple where he let the Scripture speak about the danger of God. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For he has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the poor and proclaim liberty to the captives and to the blind new sight, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." The danger of God is that God's measure is not our measure. God's standard for blessing is not our standard for success. We hear God's blessing as a backwards blessing that brushes aside all we have worked for and can proudly hold up as our trophies of accomplishment. Perhaps that's why Jesus spent most of his time with those who have few or no trophies to declare. Jesus came back from the wilderness and found that those who had positions in society to protect, those who had reputations to defend, those who had power to guard, sought to justify themselves and refuse to be open to the Spirit of God and Jesus. On the other hand, perhaps there is, as some theologians call it, a preferential option for the poor. Perhaps because the poor and the outcast are broken open by life's hardships. They're thus more willing and ready to risk the danger of God. If after years of work one's nest is comfortably feathered, why move? But if one has nowhere to lay one's head, why not God? When oppressed or when ill or when grieving, one may be more eager to see the heavens open and the Spirit flying like a dove. Why not approach heaven? Why not risk baptism? Part of the danger of God's running loose in the world is that baptism is not confined to the ritual we do over at that font. Generally speaking, it is any encounter we have with the holy that leaves us feeling clean and refreshed. A vision may be a kind of baptism. A peak experience may be a baptism. But heaven is open to us in less miraculous ways as well. So Frederick Buchner writes about the ritual of baptism. What he says is true of any baptism we may receive from God. He writes this: baptism consists of getting dunked or sprinkled. Which technique is used matters about as much as whether you pray kneeling or standing on your head. Dunking is a better symbol, however. Going under symbolizes the end of everything about your life that is less than human. Coming up again symbolizes the beginning in you of something strange and new and hopeful. You can breathe again. When we risk God's baptism, we lose that which is less than human. When we risk baptism, we see that heaven is open. And once again, we can breathe. God is running loose in the world. And we are called to be a part of God's dangerous work. Amen.